For instance, he taught us, as we said, that Satan is a murderer, a liar, a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said he came to destroy the devil's works, to destroy the power of sin and death, to destroy that bondage. And so when he says, I came to destroy the devil's works, and he speaks about death, when you see Christ raise the dead, in fact, when you see Christ rise from the dead himself, he has demonstrated that he has the power to do what he set out to do. Do you agree? And we can go to that reliable historical collection of documents to find evidence of the fact that these things took place. So the question is very simple. In my mind, who are you going to believe? Deepak Chopra or the Lord Jesus Christ? Boils down to that. Whose authority and expertise are you going to take on this matter? The guy who, you know, this guy in the red glasses? Or the guy who created vision to begin with? I would say Jesus Christ. How many people would agree? Amen. I could just stop right there. Say, hey, there you go. What else do you need? Praise God. So authority. I'm going to take Jesus' word on it. Number two, evidence. Evidence. Now, some people, and you'll see that in this video, some people think that all these accounts of demons in the Bible and what they did and people getting delivered and demons being cast out, they think that these folks were really not truly possessed by demonic spirits. They think that was all some kind of psychological problems that they had. They had these issues, and that somehow Jesus helped them to be free of those issues. He would perform a religious ritual, just like they do in the pagan depths of the jungle. And through this ritual, these people would be free from their psychological issues. That's their position. Well, let's test that and see if it stands the test of scrutiny. So the question is, are the accounts in Scripture of people being demon-possessed consistent with such a state, or were they just people who had psychological problems and were overcome and overcame overcame their issues through rituals? Well, let's consider some facts. Weigh this. Number one, Jesus never taught that these things were simply psychological issues. He didn't say, well, you know, this guy that's over here, you know, frothing and writhing and speaking in different languages in a guttural voice or something like that, you know, who was, you know, tearing at himself and things like that. He never said, you know, well, he looks like he's demon-possessed, but this one really isn't. He just has some deep-seated issues, you know, because of conflict with his dad. I think, you know, he might have had some kind of Oedipus thing going on in there. And he never taught that. When people were possessed by spirits, basically he would just cast them out. He would have conversations with these beings. Okay? He would talk to them and they would answer him. Now, I'm not saying that people don't have bizarre mental illnesses. And yes, they do. I'm not saying that schizophrenia is not real or you know, bipolar problems like that. But I'm talking about when people would give signs of literally being possessed by a demon. He never taught that they were a concept. He always treated them as beings, beings with a personality, beings that had a will and knowledge and you know, was able to communicate. And he had conversations. He would talk, they would answer. And it was never a role-playing game. He would never say, okay, sir, you sit here and I want you just to imagine, for instance, that this is the scenario and I'm going to do this. And when I do this, you just act out what you're feeling. Tell me how you feel about this situation. He never did that. He never had psychological counseling sessions with these people. One time when he walked out into a synagogue, a man with a demon just began screaming at him. In fact, it says in Mark chapter 1:23, it says, now, there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone! What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." People were amazed. They had never seen anything like that. I guess they were amazed. I frankly would be amazed too on that day in that synagogue, because Christ acted with authority. He simply gave a command. He said, "Come out of him." And the demon left him. Now, if you think that's just a psychological technique, let's empty all the mental hospitals. Let's just go around and say, "Hey, come out of him." See if it works. But he had authority. He had power over all the powers of the enemy. And when he gave a command and the power of God poured into that person, that demonic spirit had to leave. There was power there. He didn't have a counseling session to help them overcome their demons. He said, "I command you to come out and enter him no more," and the spirit would leave. If someone was afflicted by a demonically caused illness, and not all illnesses are, I'd say probably most of them are not. Nevertheless, there were some that he said were caused by a demon. The woman who had a crooked back, a scoliosis, he said, "Satan has afflicted her for 18 years. It was demonically instigated. But there was also a boy who was deaf and dumb. And he said there was a deaf and dumb spirit in him. And when he cast him out, he said, "I command you to come out of him and return no more." Suddenly the boy could speak and hear. That's not psychology. You got a guy who can't hear, and you say, "Come out of him," and suddenly he can hear. That's not psychological issues, man. That's healing. That's deliverance. That is the power of God casting out a demon. Let me give you another example. When Jesus cast a legion of demons out of the man in the Gadarenes, where did the spirits go? Where? A herd of swine into the pigs. How do we know that? What did the pigs do? Ran off a cliff. That's not psychology. I'm not putting down psychology. Thank God for psychologists. I know some godly, wonderful psychologists. But I tell you what, that is not psychology. That's deliverance. When he cast the man came after him. People couldn't even get close to this guy because he would assault them. And he was a violent man. He was out of his mind. He was deranged. He probably came after Jesus when he appeared on the scene. And Jesus simply delivered him from his demons. Now, the pigs ran off the cliff. How do you explain that if it's simply psychology? Did Jesus give them a hypnotic suggestion? Did he start oinking at them and they all said, "Oh, let's run off the cliff"? Maybe he spoke in pig Latin. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. What is that? The swine flu. They ran off the cliff and the swine flu. Only Tom Chandler. Oh, Shiloh. Oh, my goodness. You're corrupting our people. I told you it's not me. Oh, man. Praise God. Those were demons. So I would submit to you, we go to the authority on such a subject who demonstrated historically that he knew what he was talking about and had the power to do something about it. I would submit to you that the evidence in Scripture is consistent with the proposition. If you made this proposition and said Scripture teaches this and the record was inconsistent with that, then you can say it's not internally consistent. We shouldn't put our faith in that. But it is consistent with the proposition. The record of what occurred is consistent with the existence of a spirit being and spirit beings who are demonic in nature. So authority, evidence. Number three, experience. And I'll make this short. It's all well and good for us to sit here and debate give point and counterpoint about whether or not Satan exists or not, or whether people are truly possessed by demonic beings. And it's all fun, you know, so we can sit comfortably here and talk about it, but for a person who is really truly battling those demons, battling that torment and that anxiety, it's more than a debate, it's more than a discussion, it's life and death. And we need to be careful that we're not flippant or casual about this topic, because there are multitudes, untold multitudes, who are in bondage to anxiety and torment and fear and darkness and bondage. And this is what it's all about. It's not just some ideology. It's about real people who are living in despair, in fear, and in anxiety, who have spent untold hours and untold dollars in doctors' offices and have still not found relief. And it's heart-wrenching. It's heart-wrenching when you see these people in their struggle and the anxiety and torment that constitutes their everyday life. But we have the testimony of people like Annie Laubert and multitudes of others who came to Christ in repentance and faith and found that He was able to deliver them, to cast that darkness out of them and take them out from the power and the authority of darkness and put them into the kingdom of His Son and give them hope and give them meaning and purpose and give them power to live each day. Give them peace that passes understanding and joy unspeakable and full of glory. People who can say, I was there, I was in that pit, I know what that's like, I remember that place. But now He has delivered me, and I'm in a different place, and He's filled me with hope, and filled me with light, and filled me with glory. And it's real. I have experienced it for myself. And my experience is consistent with what Scripture says should take place. Because Jesus Christ is still very much alive, very much powerful, and very much able to deliver all who come to Him by faith, to be set free from the power of darkness. How do I know that? Because I'm one of those people. Because there was a place in my life when I lived in such darkness that I believed in God. But I was so ignorant, and I was so bound and so tormented. And I remember sitting in my room one night crying out to God from the depths of my soul, God, save me from this torment. What a horrible place to be. And there are multitudes in that state. But I thank God that Jesus Christ delivers from Satan. I'd been to psychiatrists. I'd taken prescriptions. I'd been to counseling. The fluff they told me. I'm not saying that against the field of psychology. I'm saying, man, these guys that I wound up with, you know, they had nothing for me. Oh, I was so hungry to be free. Until my mom dragged me kicking and screaming to this crusade one night, and I found Jesus Christ, and He set me free. And the man who left that auditorium was a different man than the one who went in. And the darkness was gone. That's why we are here. That's why you and I are here, to lead people to Jesus Christ so that they can be set free from sin and death and from all the power of the enemy. Doesn't your heart break for people who live that nightmare every day, day in and day out? And they try to do their best to cover it up and have a nice veneer, because you got to function in the world. You got to go to work. You got to go to school. You got to get on. But inside, when your guts are being chewed up like a meat grinder, and to know that Jesus Christ can set you free from that. That's powerful. That is so powerful. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 26:17 that was his mission. That was his purpose. Jesus sent him for that reason. This is what Jesus told the Apostle Paul in Acts 26:17. He said, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they can receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So I would encourage you today, if you're under attack, if you're under the oppression of the enemy, and he is throwing darkness in your life, I would encourage you to go to the authority, the one who is able, the one who has the power, who has the wisdom, who has the ability and the knowledge. I would encourage you to trust in the evidence and the record that he has provided, both in Scripture and in all of those who can testify of that power. And I would encourage you to seek him so that you can be set free and you can experience firsthand the power of God to deliver from that place of darkness. Praise God.